It's when we get distracted by all the bells and the whistles and the tools and the tactics, and we forget you really are the lead magnet. People buy for people.
Sean Fink is a business design strategist and courage coach who helps build vibrant, mission-driven businesses and energize the visionary founders who run them. She's the founder of the Brave Yes Business Advantage Framework, a team facilitator, keynote speaker, writer, and a former journalist. Before we get into what I consider the climax of what we're going to be talking about here, I would love to know why you chose to move away from a scaled business to a more high-touch business, because I know you've been in the space for like 15 years and a lot informed that decision.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. You know, I am definitely one of those lucky people who thought, oh, everybody else seems to be doing something on the internet, and I want to be one of those people. So I was one of the kind of early bloggers who monetized and became eventually a content creator. I had been a writer. I was a journalist. So it was really easy for me to transition into that. I had got lucky really early with a great audience, lots of fans, and it was a beautiful time on the internet. And I ran a membership community for 24/7 for 8 years, 8 full years. It's like family. I loved every second of it. But as things happen, the internet changed, and I could not keep up with the churn in a way that would have been an anti-hustle mindset and practice. I don't like hustle. I'm much more of a slow, easygoing. I even wrote a book, Savoring Slow, with my first business. So I really, you know, I didn't want to hustle. If I really wanted to keep that membership going, I was going to need to really hustle. All of it felt really out of alignment. So I closed that business down in 2020. I always tell people, if you're going to do anything crazy and drastic, 2020 was the year you could do it. And that's when I moved into what eventually became business design strategy and courage coaching. My work has really been around what I call the Brave Yes mindset in business.
I love what you shared because, yeah, sometimes the market changes, or like you said, the internet itself changed and what used to work didn't quite work the way it used to, or it required something different. What comes to mind for me when you say that? Maybe if you are running ads, or maybe if you are hiring other people, or if you're doing certain tactics or strategies, it would have kept going and it would have kept growing, but that wasn't something you felt called to do. And I think it's really cool that you're able to say, no, actually, I'm going to change gears and I'm going to do something different. And so now you're doing high touch. And I think that you probably have a front row seat to a lot of how people are running their businesses today. So what are some of those common struggles that you might be seeing as a design strategist right now around business?
Yeah, nothing's drastically different than it was 10 years ago. Everybody's trying to get clients. Everybody's trying to get visibility, especially. So often is entrepreneurs, founders who have vast experience who get caught up in what I call the beginner's mindset trap. They see everybody else and what they're doing, and they think everybody else is doing better or has it more together. And so then they start to kind of mimic or copy or want to do all those things. And then they get into what I call the beginner's mindset trap. I don't know what I'm doing, so let me take this course. Let me sign up for this program. Oh, I've got to learn this and get this book. How many of us have those books on our shelves that we're like, I've got to learn this? And what that is a struggle when you're trying to grow your business, because you're just constantly in learning mode rather than leading mode, which is really where we need to be if we're going to really attract people to our business.
I find that really interesting. And I know you know strength finders, and potentially there could be a lot of entrepreneurs that have the high learning strength where they enjoy new information and learning things. And I know for me, I love switching gears. I love trying different things and new ideas. And like, ideas are basically one of my top five for strengths. So when there's a new idea, I'm like, oh, I have to try that. But also that leads to that kind of shiny object syndrome, right? Where something new comes up and then you kind of abandon the thing you've been working on. And then you maybe lose momentum because you didn't see it through and you didn't get the benefits of all the work you'd done on it. So yeah, I definitely relate to that. It happens to everyone, especially if you see things that look like they're working for someone else, you really want to jump on it and be like, oh, I think I could do that too.
Right, exactly. And I always tell people, yeah, I love to learn too. And I love to experiment. And I'm a manifesting generator in human design. So, you know, I have more ideas by breakfast than most people do, you know, all week. However, if you're not in control of those ideas and really starting to hone them and develop them into something that is more of your intellectual property, you're just going to be a scattered mess, right? And I have been through that. I have done that before. Thankfully, I've kind of learned to not act on every idea. And the other thing I tell people is, unless you're looking at somebody, another business's P&L statement, you don't even know if those tactics are working. It might look like it's working from the outside, but a lot of times they're not working like you think they are on the inside.
I think we're always comparing the outside of someone's business and not their inside of their business. And yeah, maybe that little piece of that strategy or that tactic is working, but you know, maybe it's super overwhelming and they're burned out. You don't really know what it takes to do some of these things. We've both been online for a very long time, and to be here long term, you have to take a step back and decide what you're willing to do. And I love that you started the whole episode with that, because I think being able to sustain this is kind of part of success. Otherwise, you're going to flame out, right? You'll be a little bit too fast, and then you can't keep going, and then you don't have anything anymore, right? Right. That's really important.
Yeah, that is a really good point. Just that sustainability. And that's what I'm always looking for, because I've had ebbs and flows in my business. And when the ebbs are happening, I'm just like, oh gosh, I'm going to have to look for a job, you know, the J-O-B. And then I get on and I start looking for jobs and I'm like, oh no, I've got to make this work. I am so not the kind of person who should be in a 9-to-5 or any hours at this point. I just really work better when I'm my own boss. Yeah, so that sustainability is really important, not just around financial, but just, are you going to love this? And that's just really where I've always been. That's how I really differentiate in my own business. I just focus on the joy. I want people to feel really happy with what they're doing and feel like it's ethical and not icky. So I really try to navigate ways on how you can do your business that really work for you.
That's so powerful. And maybe that's part of the solution to the beginner's mindset. Is there something else that you recommend if people are finding themselves sort of grasping to follow new trends or all of these things? How can they kind of stay the course?
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of different ways. You know, the business journey is long. And sometimes when you're in your fifth year, you're like toddler stage, right? We think that we should have it all together by year 3, 4. But I've been doing this for more than 10 years now. And it's a long journey. And you really do need to be ready for anything. The number one thing that has worked for me from the beginning, and I've gotten distracted with the tactics at times, but when I am leading and when I am my own lead magnet, you need to be your business's greatest lead magnet. You can learn from people, and we all want to be inspired and learn. But at some point, you have to step away from the learning and start to implement and actualize. As long as you're in learning mode, you're not in leading mode. So if you're not leading, how am I going to know that you're the person for me to hire? How am I going to know that your work even exists? So you have to step away from the learning and the trying to figure it all out or even getting it perfect and just throw it out there. I was just testing a whole new message this morning with a little group of people, just like a small group kind of local to me. I didn't know what I was doing. It was a total experiment. And I told them that this is something new I'm playing with. I would like for you to just be open-minded. And I learned a lot. And next time I do it, I'll do it better and I'll do it better. But I just had to put myself out there and try it. And that's leading, rather than I could have sat back and gone, oh, I'm not ready. But in order to be your business's greatest lead magnet, you actually have to get out there and do things maybe even a little differently.
I love that. And yeah, I think all of us kind of have this tendency of, let me read a book first, let me take a course first, like you said, and then I'll be ready to take action or do the thing. And I love what you said about being your business's greatest lead magnet. So I think most people who are listening may know, but if you don't know, a lead magnet is often used as a term for something that you give away in exchange for someone's email address when they join your email list. So it could be a downloadable, a mini course or something like that. And it has value. But I love the way that you're using the term lead magnet in this context. So tell us a little bit more about that and how you came up with that.
Just trying to explain to my clients why they don't need to do everything that everybody else is doing. Sometimes they think, oh, I should start a podcast. You know, that's always a very common one. It's like, okay, but is that really who you are and how you're going to shine best? Because I've had a podcast. It's not an easy thing to sustain. And it's not always going to be the best fit for what you need in your particular business. You are the magic. We think that all the bells and the whistles is the thing, and you got to have the perfect website, and you got to, you know, I know somebody who's working as a coach, and she wants to get the coach. She doesn't think she's a coach until she has the website. And I keep trying to express to her, the coach is you. You are the coach. It doesn't matter whether you have the website perfect or not, or up or not. You are still the lead magnet. You can get out and you can talk to people, and you really can shine. The magic bullet is always you. It's how you think. It's your expertise. It's your triumphs and your failures. And those are the things that people are attracted to. And those are the things that people really want to know about you. I'm always chasing what I call the unicorn client for my business, because I don't work with just anybody. And in order to do that, I really have to be authentically me. I can't pretend to be somebody else. Those who attract to me are, they come to me because of me, not because I had some great lead magnet funnel that is going to teach them something. They're going to actually buy because they like me. When I invest in that strategy, I get clients every time. It's when we get distracted by all the bells and the whistles and the tools and the tactics, and we forget you really are the lead magnet. People buy for people.
Now we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Did you know Access Ally is the most flexible way to sell and elegantly deliver digital offerings as your business grows? All in one place on WordPress. You can create online courses, memberships, directories, and communities, and even sell team access, all on your terms. Go to accessally.com to get a demo and see why it's the business scaling solution you've been looking for. Welcome back.
Even more important in an AI world, I think, because we do want to do business with other people. And even if what you're selling isn't necessarily you, so if you're not a coach and you are selling a product or something else, like it could even be pillows or mugs or something that's completely not you, it's still you in a way, right? Because it's your creativity, it's the vision that you have for whatever item you're creating or product or whatever it is. I think if people really let this land, that the whole idea that you are your business's greatest lead magnet, that is such a powerful reframe. And could you even look at like your to-do list and be like, okay, are the things I'm doing today being the lead magnet for my business, or are they distractions, or are they things that I think I should be doing, things that make me feel like I'm doing the right things, but maybe aren't, right? So yeah, I'd love to know kind of how you coach people into taking action.
When I first put this out on LinkedIn, I had a homework assignment, starting to track your time. I kind of call it like active and inactive tasks. If I'm actively being that lead magnet, there's a point of connection with people. And I can look at my to-do list and go, oh yeah, tweaking that sales page again. Oh yeah. You know, writing that blog post that's probably never going to be seen. You know, there's a lot of things, like, but when I'm actually getting on a podcast or going to speak, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity for you to start to see the nuance in how you are spending your time, where if you are really getting distracted by the shiny objects or the perfectionism versus how am I really putting myself out there? And I love that you use coffee mugs. I'm a huge coffee mug fan. I'm going to buy a mug from somebody that I know, like, and trust so much more than I am just a mug on a table at a craft fair that I don't even know anybody. You know, so again, you might have a product, but if you can't put yourself out there, really putting your work, your day, and prioritizing those moments where you get to shine and you get to really put your work out there, and, you know, in an authentic, fun way too. Most people are fun. They're funny. They like to laugh and they're not polished. We just have to understand that the internet has created this movement of performative authenticity. And we have to even see beyond that layer. The actions that you're taking will really make a difference. I believe that part of being your business's lead magnet is how you design your business, which is kind of how I've always designed my businesses. My first business was the Abundant Mama Project, which was totally weird. I remember thinking most of the time it was not really a business. Like, it wasn't taken seriously because it was a little bit of a different idea. It wasn't traditional business, but that was the appeal of it. I still get emails. The business has been closed for 4 years. I still get emails almost weekly from clients who said that changed my life. And so when you can do that kind of work and really put that message out there, that mission is a part of what I call the Brave Yes Edge, like the Brave Yes Advantage. Putting yourself out there in a way, putting your business out there in a way that gets people talking or gets people re-examining who they are it's not just a service. It's not just an offer. It's not just a product. It's game changing. It's life changing. And that to me is how you can really start to attract people to you as opposed to feeling like you have to go out and chase.
That's interesting. I remember hearing an analogy of you're either a hunter or a farmer, which I don't know if that's necessarily the only two options either. The way I've always kind of thought about it, I'd rather be like the flower in my business as opposed to the busy bee going from flower to flower. If you can be the one attracting based on being you and sharing that, I think that's really powerful. But I think what might come up for people who are like, oh yeah, this sounds amazing, but maybe there's a lack of self-confidence or self-trust or something around that of doing that and putting yourself out there. So what recommendations do you have for people who are like, I'm not sure?
There's a big piece of self-worth and self-confidence and self-trust and self-leadership that really comes into play when you're trying to be your business's lead magnet. I was a content creator. I would have been very happy to hide behind my computer forever writing content and never actually promoting my business in any way. That's not the market that we really have anymore. So, you know, yes, there's great content out there, but in order to really infiltrate people's consciousness, you have to make an impact. And in order to really do that, you have to believe in yourself. You have to have that confidence that your work, that your worth is valuable. And you have to have that idea, that big idea that's going to capture people's imaginations. Some people's ideas are out there, right? You know, like there's great ideas, but we're afraid to put them out there. We're afraid, you know, you have to have that confidence. You have to have that courage. I work with what I call the brave yes mindset in business because I really do believe that we have to have this like yes attitude. Like I can do this. It's truly like, let's take the actions to be braver so that we can start to do the things that are going to actually attract people to us. But the self-worth is so important. If you don't believe in your work, then why should anybody else? You have to be your biggest fan.
Yeah, it has to start from you, and then it can kind of ripple out and have the effects that you want it to have. So why do you think it's so challenging to be your business's lead magnet in today's market? Because I don't think it's necessarily something that comes naturally to everyone.
I think a lot of people are thinking that social media content is the answer and really trying, you know, I've been in that and I'm over it myself. I'm like stuck in that loop of, oh, I just need to write more posts and do more reels. And that creates burnout. And then you see a lot of people kind of drifting away or needing to take long breaks. Whereas, you know, trying to be consistent, just making connections and putting yourself out there on a regular basis. That's not easy either, by the way. I mean, I'm an introvert. But at the same time, you know, that burnout and lack of capacity, if you're putting all your energy into this basket, means that you're not going to be able to put yourself out there in a different way that will help you really shine and really start to make those relationships and to cultivate those connections that you need. So capacity, burnout, everybody's tired. You know, especially if you are on the hamster wheel of content, you're really putting a lot of energy into that and you're not really getting the kind of momentum that you probably really need. I don't get any, I rarely get clients from social media, like content, maybe older clients that I've met in other ways, but cold people, you know, that's just not worked for me. And so that to me is exhausting now. I love to create and make content. And you have to really look at what you're doing that is distracting, like we talked about earlier, like put yourself out there in really unique different ways and let the people just find you.
So you mentioned a couple of different ways, but I'm thinking people are like, okay, what are the unique ways? Like, what do I do? So you mentioned speaking, you mentioned reaching out to people, being on podcasts. Are those some of the things you mean when you're saying like put yourself out there maybe outside of social media? And how do you recommend people think about that?
I use social media for all connections. I want to be real clear because I don't market in my own community or anything like that. So I think social media is valuable in making connections, just a little different than it used to be. But it's about those connections. Who do you know? Who can you really help and support and give value to in various ways, whether that just be through attending events or speaking or holding your own events. I mean, there's lots of ways for you to get out in front of people. I know that makes some people very uncomfortable. It's like, I have a client, she's got a speaking event and she's just like beside herself. She's like, this is so uncomfortable for me. this is what you need to be doing because you are the star, right? This is her business. She is the owner. She is the founder, you know, so putting herself out there is only going to help her business do better. So, you know, podcasting, having your own or being on somebody's show, you know, anything where you can be on, you know, giving your expertise to other people and being helpful. I always tell people, like, just try to be helpful wherever you are.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember in the very, very beginning of what I call my training business, I basically got coached into just like, do your first event. Doesn't matter how big it is, who's there, just practice. And I remember I had maybe 5 people from my town, my super small town, and they were all in a room. I'd basically just talk to them and it was about healthy eating. So I just showed them some recipes and stuff. And I remember like things clicked after that, even though that didn't transform my business overnight, there was something that started to change. And I think, you know, I'd love to hear a little bit more about your Brave Yes business framework and how you coach people through some of that. Cause I feel like once you start doing things, it starts to create some of that momentum and some of those changes that you realize looking back, you're like, oh yeah, that made a difference.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember how terrified I was of my first webinar, and which is so funny because right, like 10 years ago, webinars had like thousands of people on them. And now I can't get like more than like 20 on my webinars. I call it micro brave moments. You know, it really is brave begets brave, right? Like the more brave you do, the more brave you get. I was kind of feeling out to this group this morning and one entrepreneur said she's like a 10, like an 8 or a 10 in brave in her business, but maybe like a 3 or 4 in her personal life. And another one said she's more like a 10 in personal life, but only like a 6 in business. You know, everybody's different, but the more brave risks you take and, you know, and everybody's spectrum of brave is different. Like what is brave for me is probably going to be more than what other people are willing to do. And it could be maybe you do much more brave things than me. So, but the point is the experimentation, the curiosity, getting in there and just not being in this place of uncertainty anymore, but just like, okay, because once you do it once, it gets easier the second time, then it gets easier the third time. And so I really work with my clients on a couple of different things. You know, we work on business design, which is really just helping to design a business that is going to stand out, period. Doesn't matter. I like to work with and tend to work with a lot of activists, people with some really amazing ideas or services that they do that's going to change systems. A lot of environmentalists, a lot of creatives, you know, and so a lot of their ideas are, in their opinion, wild. But to me, they're mind-blowing. They're so good, right? And if the world would embrace them, adopt them, we would see change. But what happens is a lot of times they're afraid to do that because they think they're going to be labeled as weird or they're going to be rejected in their industry. And so because it is unconventional. And so we work on the business design part, which is 5 pillars, a brave mission, really important that it's not just about profit. I want to work with mission-led businesses because I feel like they don't get enough attention. But then there's also the other pieces of that, your brave yes edge. How are you different? And I love to use the example of a dentist office. And, you know, maybe I should start pitching dentist office. I don't know. But like nobody likes a dentist, right? But all dentist offices are the same. Like nobody's differentiating themselves. Like they could really find a good market in tending to like, oh, the most calming dentist office that there is, right? Like that would be so like, sign me up. Where is that one? That's kind of how we differentiate. And really that edge is how people decide whether they're going to hire you or they're going to hire me. And so that's the other thing that happens to be sort of my zone of genius. I really love to help people find that. And it can be tricky to find. It takes some time. But the other part is your methodology, your brave work, your messaging, that brave leadership piece that we've been talking about here today, putting yourself out there, having the confidence to, you know, sometimes lead without followers in this market, especially can feel like you don't have any followers, but how do you lead in that? And so having those sort of tactics and strategies and coping skills and the resilience work that you need to handle a presentation that is a flop. And then of course, brave strategy, just doing things unconventionally, doing things differently, not feeling like you have to follow all the rules. that you can break the rules and that's okay. I always say that my brave yes edge is I'm a business design strategist, but also a courage coach. Because I know for me in my first business, I could have used a me, somebody to just be like, you've got this, you know, try harder, go bigger, you know, somebody who's like just pushing you along. Because our tendency is to fall back into that comfort zone.
All of that was so juicy. I absolutely love that you focus on activists and environmentalists. And, you know, that is super close to my heart. And I think, yeah, sometimes we do feel like our ideas are a little bit too out there, or they're not going to be accepted, or we're going to be labeled as outside of the norm, or whatever it is that people are afraid of. And I think the courage work that you mentioned is so powerful too, because how else are we going to change things for the better, right? If we don't have the courage to put ourselves out there and put our ideas out there too, to start to make those small shifts until it kind of tumbles into a big shift, right?
Yeah, and it might not even be a big shift. It might be just small, powerful change that happens incrementally, because we know that these systems, they weren't built overnight. They're going to take many, 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 many years to fix and solve and tear down, especially the environment, especially at this point in time. It's like, it's a big beast and there's not enough hours to do it. And I just love that I can be somebody that, you know, other people who are activists or mission-led kind of see me as somebody that is on their side, you know, DEI leaders. I just want to be on the forefront of the change that we can really make happen in our generation.
Yeah, I love that. I think we all need that kind of wing person, right? Or that person that's on our side, like you said, that can remind us why we're doing this and that it will come together. And, you know, there are ebbs and flows, like you said, like there are times where it's a little bit harder, there's an obstacle, but you can get around it, you can get over it. There's ways to navigate and keep moving forward, yes. Which I think is so powerful.
Yeah, don't quit. It's so easy, yes, to give up in this market, in this world. It's so easy to be like, oh, why bother? You know, mm-hmm. But don't, because that's why we are, that's how we got here, right? It's too big.
Yes.
But yeah, I love that. I have a client who just is in the process of publishing her and what's going to become a series on, it's basically environmental books for children. That's going to, I mean, but it's not just like a children's book. It's more of like a teaching tool that teachers can use to really start to help people understand why plastic is bad for the earth and why we shouldn't be using it and how to stop using it. And, you know, she wouldn't have written that book if I hadn't kept saying, you've got something here. You've got to keep going, because she's been trying to write it for years and now it's getting published, you know, so easy to give up.
It is. Yeah. And I think, you know, we have inertia, right, in our lives where things are going a certain way, and to do something different, we kind of have to push against the inertia to get out of the patterns that we're in. So I think having someone like you to see what patterns you're in and be able to say, okay, actually, yes, I want you to do that micro brave, micro courage thing. And that will start to break that inertia a little bit and kind of switch you to a different direction. I think that's so powerful.
Yeah, I think that works on the micro and the macro, right? Like, you know, our own personal stuff that we're, you know, the inertia that we're experiencing, but then in the world too, like everybody's kind of moving in this direction, but we all can't keep doing that. So that's why we have to fight the current and be courageous enough to do that. AI is a really great example on that. We can fight against that. We don't have to just go with the current and do what everybody says. You know, we can stand up and resist.
I love that so much. Yeah, with the writer's strike for TV, I think people are starting to say, hey, wait, there are ways for us to resist some of these inertia things, yes, that are currently whisking us away. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. It was a good year for people standing up for themselves.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Shawn, I feel like we could keep going forever on all of these topics. And I want to ask if there's anything that you could say to people who are listening to this and maybe they're like, yeah, okay, I feel like maybe this is possible. What would you say to them right now?
I would say, number one, if you want to really just operate in your zone of genius, you know, really start to be your business's lead magnet, it does take time to know who you are. If you're so busy doing all the things, you're not going to have that time to have that self-awareness or that self-reflection. And so really invest in that, because the more you know yourself, the easier it is to put yourself out there, the easier it is to make a mark on people. And don't be afraid to do things differently and really start to set yourself apart, because that is really what's going to help your business thrive.
Beautiful. Oh, thank you so much for being here with us, Sean. Is there anything that you want people to do next? What's the best way to connect with you?
Well, if any of your listeners are interested, I do have a Brave Yes Business Advantage checklist that they can download and check off and see where they are in having what I call the Brave Yes Business Advantage. It'll help you decide, okay, here's an area where I need to work on, or no, I'm good in this area, just to have a business that will help you stand out and so that you can be that lead magnet. And that you can find at seanfink.com/advantage.
Awesome. And we'll put the link in the show notes too. So thank you so much, Sean, for being here with us. This was amazing. I feel like things are already like changing. We can see those little micro movements and changes. And I'm excited to hear what everyone does after listening to this episode.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
To get the show notes and links from today's episode, head over to natalielussier.com and click the podcast link. You can also subscribe to receive email notifications when new podcasts are released. Thanks for listening, and until next time.